From the Game Nashville studios, it's time for Darren, Donick, and Chase. With hosts Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this sunny Monday here in Middle Tennessee. Let's talk with TD. Teron Davenport on the line with us. He joins us every Monday at this time, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com, along with CraneWorks and RentalWorks. TD, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? Back in Nashville. I'm glad to see that this snow has been eliminated. And, got to see a really good Titans win. So a lot to be excited about as we get this bye week.
Yeah,
some time off.
Yeah, no doubt. Lots of rain yesterday, by the way. Got rid of that white stuff.
I never got to see the snow. I got home and the snow was pretty much gone.
Yeah, but you were in L.A., so I don't really.
Yeah, nobody's going to give you a shoulder to cry on. L.A. and Arizona and Vegas? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
I barely went outside.
There's nothing wrong with Houston either, TD, if we're going to throw in warm places.
I'm not complaining. Believe that.
Anthony Firkser, he's been coming on of late, and you could make the case best game of the year yesterday. Is this something you think they can count on moving forward in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, that's right on time. He had back-to-back games with a touchdown reception, which is something that's good for him. And if you remember earlier in the year, Mike Vrabel said that he's a guy they wanted to feature in the red zone and on third downs because of that shiftiness that he has and the way that he's able to run routes and get open quickly. And that's what you saw. Obviously, it was a play action a couple weeks ago. And then this last one was a good opportunity where Ryan Tannehill went through his reads. And it was actually a good play design, too, that Todd Downing put together, knowing that the defense was going to go towards Julio Jones and A.J. Brown on that one side. And then he had Hilliard coming out of the backfield to take 51, the linebacker, out of the pitcher. And that opened up the window. So, yeah, I think it is something that you could count on, that they're going to go to. I'm not saying that he's going to explode and start having 100-yard receiving games, but I do think that he could play a pretty big role in situations, and that's something that's good because it just makes for another thing that defenses have to be concerned about. And that red zone passing game, just period, the red zone is definitely on an uptick.
Yeah, I would say they would take 4 catches, 56 yards, and a touchdown every game moving forward, I would think, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you've got everybody else upright and healthy.
Right, and it's kind of like what they're setting up. And I remember Frank Reich used to always, in Philly, he used to always make references to boxing and basketball. And he would say that the Eagles team, you know, with the different guys that they had across the board, he compared them to kind of like the Golden State Warriors, where you have 5 guys who are capable of scoring 20 points. You may not have that guy that's going to consistently get 50. Well, Curry will do that. But, I mean, I think that's kind of what the Titans are getting to with Julio Jones becoming a little bit more of a factor. And obviously A.J. Brown, you know, there's a lot that you have to account for in the passing game. And then when you get in the red zone, it's Jeff Swain too.
How concerned are you with the secondary in the second half yesterday? That was pretty alarming what happened. I thought it was a Houston team that was going to go away down 21-0 at the half. But not the case. They did not pull the ripcord and check out. What they were able to do on offense in the second half, how concerned are you with, in particular, the secondary?
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly concerned. I mean, sometimes you just have a guy that catches fire, and that's what Danny Amendola did. And it wasn't like he was eating up everybody in the secondary, right? It was pretty much Elijah Molden and Chris Jackson. Then they were also going zone and those type of things. So I wouldn't be too concerned about it. It's obviously something to look at, but I think the secondary is going to be fine. I don't think in just one game they all of a sudden forgot how to play. I think, you know, sometimes you have games where these things happen. And my thing is they want to get back. They need to get back to that attacking style. You know, start blitzing the linebackers, start blitzing the corners and the DBs, you know, the safeties, et cetera. They start doing that a lot again, and that'll help. Obviously, the front has to be able to get home as well and just secure their rushing lanes. So I don't think it's a big problem.
A lot of people were confused on the Jeffrey Simmons play on Twitter. Could you kind of walk our audience through that play and what happened on Jeffrey Simmons, I guess, not checking in? Like I said, I saw a lot of chatter on Twitter from Titans fans trying to figure out what the heck just happened.
Yeah, I'm confused as to why there was any issue. I mean, when you go in as a player that's not normally a pass catcher and you're going to be attached or near the line of scrimmage, you have to report as eligible. And that's something that Jeffrey Simmons didn't do. And he joked that he hoped he didn't mess up his one opportunity to, you know, to get an offensive play. But, I mean, the bottom line is you have to check in as eligible. So that way, you know, it's someone that the defense knows that you're an eligible pass catcher. And he didn't do that. So as a result, the penalty was called. I don't think there's anything to be confused about or to question. It is what it is. That's a rule.
Yeah, because that's what Aaron Brewer had to do, right? Because he was kind of checking in as what, like tight ends at time?
Yeah.
And so he has to check in as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when Michael Pruitt went down, he was in essence the third tight end when they went 13 personnel, quotation marks, you know. So he would check in as eligible and be attached to the end of the line of scrimmage.
Now that is something Jeffrey Simmons has been lobbying Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff to get on an offense, right? Is that why that happened?
You know what? I don't know if he's been lobbying to do that or not, but it is something that they wanted to get done. And you know, obviously he would like to do it again, as he said at his presser yesterday. So,
and he brought that up with us before, Darren?
Yes, he has. And it's been a while, but yes, yeah. I think he's always had a burning desire to get in on some offensive plays. Yeah, that's a good call, Chase. He has, but it's been a while.
Because he referenced that his head coach, you know, had 10 touchdowns or whatever it was with the Patriots, being a defensive guy.
Oh, okay.
Go, Willie.
I was waiting for the refrigerator Perry handoff and just smash everybody.
Oh, don't be surprised if that doesn't.
That would have been awesome.
I think that would be awesome to do that in the playoffs, right?
Hey, you never know. You never know.
First and goal from the one, give it to Big Jeff. You want to get the crowd into it? Do that.
I could imagine the response.
Right.
If, you know, God forbid he fumbles or something like that, because we all know that anything Todd Downing does is wrong, according to a lot of the fans, you know, on Twitter. And I'm not saying that he's Bill Walsh or anybody, but I think we do need to look at, you know, what that offense has been able to do despite the loss of you know, so many players. I mean, you look, they're going to be top 10 in third down conversion in red zone, number one in goal-to-go situations. And that's all despite not having, you know, some of the best players on the team. So I think, you know, it's okay to be critical of a coordinator and things like that, but I think we do need to look at some of the things that they've accomplished, you know what I mean, with him as the play caller. And I get, you know, a lot of fans don't like the scripts and things like that, but one thing you got to remember about scripts, if you get behind the chains, that script gets thrown out the window. So you don't always really see the full script anyway. So I just think, you know, obviously there are some issues with Todd Downing's play calling. I'm not going to deny that. I've had some issues with it. But at the same time, I think you do have to recognize what he's done well.
I think he's done a pretty good job overall. Like you said, Teron, let's throw this out there now. Where they are and the way that it shook out with all of the things that happened last night, how do you like their draw, and who do you think they match up with? I think it's very significant that they do not have to beat the Bills and the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. That is huge. But the way the draw is set up, you know, we know that there's several teams that they could end up playing. But what do you think of the draw, and who's the best matchup?
Yeah, I think it's actually worked out pretty well for the Titans. And I know everybody says that the Colts are, you know, hey, they're this and they're that. I get that, but styles make fights, and I think that style that the Colts play is a tough matchup for the Titans, and it's also tough to beat a team three times in one season. So getting the Colts up out of there, I think, was a really good thing. The Jaguars actually did the Titans a favor, and I think when you look at the rest of the teams, I think they match up well with everyone, you know, and that's the positive in what you have left. Now, granted, any given day, you know, a team could come in and catch fire and you could just see everything go downhill. But I think when you look at the Bengals, they match up with them well. The three receivers that they have, and I like the top three corners that the Titans have. I think that's a good matchup. And then most importantly, Burrow is a guy that gets sacked a lot, and the Titans have been able to get pressure. They finished, I think it was like sixth in the league in sacks. So that's a good thing, and they could stop the run. So that's a good matchup. I think, yeah, they match up pretty well with every team. The Steelers, you know, they had no business losing that game to Pittsburgh. And I think when you put Derrick Henry in the mix and you put A.J. Brown in the mix, I think it's a different ball game as well. So it's a good situation for the Titans, and they have to win two games, and they're going to the Super Bowl.
I thought it was another, speaking of the pass rush, I thought it was another step forward for Bud Dupree. I noticed him constantly pressuring.
Yeah.
It didn't end up with three or four sacks or have the huge day, but I like what I'm seeing. He's quick off the ball. He's involved. He's right in there. He is making a difference out there. I think he goes into the playoffs playing his best football of the year.
Yeah, I think he goes in a nice groove. You want to see him finish a little bit more and better,
yes.
But I mean, Bud Dupree is becoming an impactful player, and he's another one of those guys that, you know, it may not always show up in the stat sheet, but trust me, that pass rush is better when he's in there, and you just see just the way that they coordinate pass rushes and their stunts and stuff like that. It's really good when he's in there, and he's a real catalyst for them.
We've been talking about this all year. The team that wins the Super Bowl, especially this year, where – it doesn't look like there's a juggernaut. You got to peak at the right time. You have to play your best football now. We've had a lot of debates the last week about Julio Jones, clearly a step forward yesterday. How do you think he felt after the game? And do you think there's even another gear there in a perfect world where he could be playing his best football for this team when the playoffs start?
I mean, he felt good after the game. He said that it was good to go out there and be a part of the offense and help the team win. I think there is another gear that they could hit. You know, as far as those deep passes, I mean, we're talking about a fraction of a second, you know, making a difference, you know, in a couple of those deep shots, especially the one in the third quarter, you know, on the first or second series. I forget which one it was. But that was just out of his reach. And they connect that, and you have a 100-yard receiving game for Julio Jones with two touchdowns, and we're talking about it a lot differently. I already put it together on my post for tomorrow on Julio Jones and them taking a step forward in the chemistry. And I asked Ryan Tannehill after the game, you know, how much that tight window throw, the touchdown pass that he had. It was just 3 yards, but how much that did for their confidence. And one of the things that he mentioned was being in the perfect location. And I think that's really important for a quarterback who does a lot off of trust, you know, to know that his guy's going to be in the right place. And Julio Jones showed him that. And then, for Julio's sake, you know, as a receiver, you want your quarterback to always keep you out of harm's way. So if you look at that throw, it was put on Jones's back shoulder, which made him turn away from the safety, Terrence Brooks, that was closing in on him. So that's a chemistry builder, a trust builder on both sides of the equation, and that was really good. Then he had a tight window throw where he fitted in between a couple of defenders down the field to Julio Jones as well. He had the timing throw on 3rd and 6 in the first quarter. It was a 13-yard gain. Julio Jones was number 3 on that trip side on the right. And he ran an out-breaking route, and before he made his break, Tannehill threw it kind of like to a spot, knowing that Julio Jones would get there. Easy catch, turn up field, get you 7 extra yards. And yet, I think those are the things that are really showing that this chemistry is beginning to develop. And then most importantly, 9 targets. That was a season high So you're starting to see Tannehill really look his way. And A.J. Brown on the other side, he didn't get a lot of targets. But what I love about A.J. Brown is you're not hearing any complaints. When he got the target, he made it happen, and he had a touchdown. This was the first game where Julio Jones and A.J. Brown had a touchdown together. So that's something to look at.
Teron Davenport is with us, joins us every Monday at 11 here on Darren Donick and Chase. I loved Mike Vrabel's answer when he was asked about Coach of the Year. And, you know, I was fully expecting him to just, you know, give a two-word answer and move on. But he used the phrase that there are things that are important and then there are things that are interesting. And this kind of falls into that's interesting, but I'm focused on the team and winning a playoff game. He never makes it about himself. But with all that said, he should be Coach of the Year. I feel like that – do you feel like it's actually going to happen, that they're going to get that one right?
I don't know if they're going to get that one right. I think Zach Taylor is a guy that, you know, should definitely be in the mix for it. But in my opinion, he should get it. In fact, last week I did a couple shows on ESPN Radio, Freddie and Fitzsimmons. And at the end of the show, you have to give your parting shot, you know, your last thought. And my last thought was a 7-minute rant on why Mike Vrabel should be the Coach of the Year. And I think it's pretty simple, right? When you look at the teams they beat, right, they beat three playoff teams and the Colts twice. You look at how many guys, 91 guys have been rostered on game day. That's an NFL record. You look at the list of guys that have been gone, it's a who's who, right?
Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones, Roger Saffold, Taylor Lewan, Bud Dupree, A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, and they still are the top seed in the AFC. I don't know, like, what more could make it, like, what else to say, you know what I mean? And then even if you look at just some of the practice videos, I mean, this guy is at every position, putting his hands on the players and dropping gems to the receivers, to the DBs, to the running backs, the linebackers, the linemen, everyone. So I think just his impact on this whole team has been great, and he should absolutely be the Coach of the Year. And in my opinion, it shouldn't even be a dispute whatsoever.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. What do you think Jayon Brown's role is moving forward on this team with your guy David Long playing the way that he does? Zach Cunningham is coming here. Obviously, Rashawn Evans. And I'm not necessarily talking about next year. I'm talking about right now because he was scratched yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you saw the snap counts I posted yesterday, but, I mean, Rashawn Evans played as many snaps as Dylan Cole and Nick Zubnar. And I'm talking about defensive snaps, too. So, I mean, it's looking like the direction they're going is Zach Cunningham and David Long pretty much for the long haul. And with Jayon Brown being inactive, that really surprised me because I still feel he's an effective player for them on third down. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like they think the same.
Yeah, I'm just curious what happens with that moving forward. TD, great stuff as always, and going to be a fun ride here the next few weeks because you were talking about the matchups and being here at Nissan Stadium and having that diesel truck back is certainly going to be a good thing, but we'll talk soon.
Okay, cool. Appreciate it. You guys take care.
As Teron Davenport joins us every Monday at 11, and it's all brought to you by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. We will come back with more here on the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.